more water. Well, good evening, good morning, or good afternoon, wherever you're listening to the sound of Bible Talk. I'm Pastor Joe, your host. It's such a blessing to be with you tonight to study the Word of God. And before we go any further, let me give you the email address to send your questions in as soon as possible. And you may want to get a pencil and paper. I'll be giving you some information two or three times during the program. The email address to send your questions is BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. That's BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. And so whether you're listening on the radio or Facebook or YouTube, we welcome you to the program. You could be listening on First Love Radio's website or Bible Talk's website. And we want you to go ahead and email your questions either on the theme of today's program, or we could talk about the pandemic, or any topic that's on your mind tonight of a spiritual or doctrinal nature, practical nature. We'll see what the Word of God says with the little bit of wisdom and knowledge that the Lord supplies for us. I'm just so blessed to be with you tonight. Regardless of the pandemic, we're here to serve and to worship and to share with God's people. And so let me give you an update on the coming events. This Friday, we will be on Iron Sharpens Iron, a radio program. It's an interview program with Chris Arnzen, the host. Chris and I, every Friday at 1 p.m., we talk about the pandemic and more specifically the spiritual trials that believers are experiencing and some of the practical and biblical issues connected with the trial of the whole earth. Not just the church, but everyone is being tested in their hearts, in their minds, by the Lord in one way or another. And so this Friday at 1 p.m. on firstloveradio.org, this Friday, 1 p.m. on firstloveradio.org, that's 1 p.m. Pacific time. And then this coming Sunday, Christ Bible Church will have its worship service at 1 p.m. Actually, our worship service, I stand corrected. Our worship service will start at 12:15 p.m., and the message will begin at 1 p.m. So we'll go from about 12:15 to about 12:45, or 12:50, and then at 1 o'clock we'll have the message. And then that's this Friday at 1 p.m. for the message, 12 noon for the worship service. So we're branching out and starting something new by adding the worship part to the beginning of the message. So it's a little confusing perhaps because I maybe did not give out the information correctly, but I'll try it one more time. All right, you be patient with me and pray for me, okay? So this Sunday at 12 noon for our worship, and then 1 o'clock for the message on firstloveradio.org, as well as BibleTalk.online and Facebook.com/ChristBibleChurch and YouTube.com/CentralityOfChrist. Or you could just go on YouTube's website and in the search bar type in Christ Bible Church and find our church, because there's several by that name. And so on today's program, after about 30 to 35 minutes, we'll stop to take questions. And if no questions have come in, we'll keep on teaching. But send your questions now on the topic of endurance and serving God, or issues related to the pandemic or whatever on your mind of a doctrinal, spiritual, or even a relational nature. We can do some pastoral counseling right now, talking about relationships or anything that's on your mind. I read a report and saw a report that there's a lot of problems, domestic violence and alcoholism, a lot of drinking, substance abuse going on in a heightened way, in an increasing way, because there are so many people shut in and locked down and sheltering in place, and it's causing some issues. So perhaps you want to talk about anything related to that. And so on today's program, we'll talk about enduring and serving God. All of us as Christians are called to serve the Lord. We are each of us given spiritual gifts. Some of you may not have discovered what those gifts are yet. But we all, as believers, if you're genuinely converted, you have and I have a spiritual gift, and we must be using it. And so on today's program, we'll talk about why we must endure in serving God. A lot of Christians, they don't endure. After 10 or 20 or 30 years in the faith, they get tired, they get weary. It is hard to be a Christian in this world, and they just stop serving, they stop witnessing, and they just kind of blend in with the world, and they stop going to church, and the spiritual battle becomes very, very oppressive. They get battle fatigue. Have you ever had battle fatigue? I've had it many times. But some believers, they just kind of kick back and hope to coast into the kingdom of heaven. So I want to talk about why we must endure in serving God. And I may not get past that point because of the length of the program. And so we'll continue on this topic of serving God. We'll look at many scriptures. We'll bring out the meat of the word, the milk of the word, God willing, the balance of the word of God on this topic. If you profess to be a Christian, this is a burning issue for you and me because we're all called to serve God. We'll also talk about either today or next week what those things are that we must endure in serving God. There's many enemies, many things against us in serving and in bringing forth fruit for the glory of God. Fruit in terms of conversion, conversions. Fruit in terms of sowing seed, planting seed, watering seed, and reaping the harvest. We are called to bear fruit in these areas if you are a believer. But what are those hindrances and what are those roadblocks and snares that are thrown in our way that hinder us from serving God and bringing forth fruit? We'll talk about that probably maybe a little bit today, but mostly next week, or as the Lord allows us to develop this topic. I'm not going to rush through it. Okay, it may take two or three programs, but either way, we'll be talking about what we must endure in serving God. And we'll also, thirdly and lastly, talk about how we endure. Not only what we must endure and why we must endure, but how do we do it? And so that's what we'll wrestle with on this topic of enduring in serving God. Well, let's begin by reading a passage of Scripture, which is the basis of this topic, in Hebrews chapter 10. If you have a Bible, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. We'll be reading verses 32 through 39. So follow along with me as I begin reading from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, But if anyone draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. The verse that I want to focus on and the phrase is in verse 36, for you have need of endurance. Now, I believe that the writer to the Hebrews is the Apostle Paul. And this text teaches the general need for endurance and perseverance in the Christian life, but specifically it teaches, and other verses in Hebrews teaches, the need for endurance in serving God. That's the topic I want to focus on with regard to endurance, in serving God. The Bible teaches if we're a Christian, we have the Holy Spirit, and we don't sit on our hands. We don't kick back and just kind of passively just coast into the kingdom on beds of ease. We are given the Holy Spirit, who is an expert, a skilled, perfect expert at lifting us up and drawing us back to the place of serving God when we get weary and discouraged. Now, the background of the book of Hebrews is that the Apostle Paul was writing to these Hebrew Christians who were becoming weary, they were wavering in their faith, and they were considering returning to their old life as Jews, as non-Christians, as unbelievers. They were thinking about going backwards instead of pressing on forwards into the kingdom. And so the pressure to return to their old life was enormous on them. This was about 30 or 40 years after they had become converted when the gospel was first brought out. And they were weary from suffering for so many years. They were persecuted. They were ostracized from their communities, from the temple, from the synagogues, from their families. And they were seriously thinking of forsaking Christ and going backwards. And the two main themes of the book of Hebrews, which is the superiority of Christ over the Old Testament, as well as the practical theme of maturing in the faith and pressing on and persevering in the Christian faith, were designed to encourage and exhort not only these Hebrew Christians 2,000 years ago in the first century, but also Christians of every age, including today, who are getting weary in serving God and in persevering in the faith. And so, besides the general exhortation to persevere as a Christian, the scriptures exhort believers, like I suggested, to persevere in maintaining good works and spiritual service to God, which includes missionary service, whatever your gift is, using your gift in the church, for it is designed to be exercised in the company of believers and in the lives of other believers, as well as whatever opportunity presents itself in the church and outside the church, to use your spiritual gift for the glory of God. Let me ask you a question. Are you getting weary in serving God? Oh, I hope not. If you are, we have a high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He understands we get tired, we get weary. The flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And very often the flesh wins the battle over the spirit. But the Lord knows this. And so, especially in our day when millions of people around the world are asking questions about Christianity, they're asking questions and they're making inquiries about the gospel and the meaning of life and what is it all about. God is drawing their attention away, at least temporarily, from the pain and the routine of daily life. And He is causing them to ask questions that they don't normally ask. Or these questions are very often suppressed in their conscience, in their mind, because they're too busy enjoying the pleasures of this life and are caught up with the cares of this life. And so many of them are beginning to look past this life because they've lost their jobs, their income is gone, they're having to apply to the government for unemployment and other benefits that are made available now. And they're really beginning to look at their material possessions and their temporal life in this world with a different attitude. They're questioning. They're seeing their mortality. Their things are taken away from them. And they're no longer in control. And they're asking questions. Well, look, they're thinking about death. They're thinking about things that are very depressing, that they would not often think about, that they would forget about, or that they would turn to entertainment or alcohol and drugs or other distractions to fill in the void that would come about from suppressing these thoughts about eternity. Why was I made? Why am I in this world? What's it all about? These existential questions that relate to existence and the meaning of life and the most important issues concerning our welfare eternally and spiritually. And so when it comes to enduring and serving God, you and I need to really make sure that if there's something that is hindering that perseverance in serving, in sharing the gospel, in encouraging believers, in being used as light and salt in this life, then we need to go to the Lord, because we need to labor while it is day, so because the night is coming when no one can work. The door is wide open, and to serve and to share the gospel right now. Who knows? Because of the pandemic, laws are changing. New laws are being enacted. The law and the government is mandating now that we can't hold worship services in certain areas of the country. We can't be in groups larger than 10. We can't be outside. Some of you have seen the news reports. I've seen at least half a dozen news reports in the last 2-3 days where they've arrested people in California and in different parts of the country just for being outside, just for driving by yourself without someone else in a car. Don't think that laws can change. Don't think that our whole system of government, based on democracy, based on a democratic republic, cannot change rapidly. Look what happened to the Soviet Union and their system of government in 1990, how quickly that changed. We can go in the other direction. By the way, you can email your question or your comment to BibleTalk@firstloveradio.org. That's BibleTalk@firstloveradio.org. Get a pen and paper and write down some of the information I'll be giving to you. So we read in Hebrews 6:11, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Now, in the immediate context, in the historical context of the first century, the believers that the Apostle Paul wrote to were becoming weary and sluggish, and they were diminishing in their service to the Lord. They were thinking about going back. Some of them had apostatized. Some of them were one step away from denying the faith, denying Christ, and going backwards to their families, back into their old communities where they would be accepted with open arms if they would just deny Christ and renounce the Christian faith that they had taken up many years earlier. And so I'm here to encourage you and to remind you that if you're thinking about doing that, or you say, well, I've not even been close to that, but I could use some encouragement. I could use some motivation. I could do a better job at walking through the open doors that God gives me, seizing the moment, the opportunity that God gives me to serve. Well, be encouraged. There's so much in Scripture. There's so much of the teachings of our Lord Jesus that promises us that we will be revived and renewed and restored from a place of mediocrity, from a place of ineffectiveness, to a place of bearing fruit in our service to the King, to the King. Just think about how many times you've been restored by the Lord. How many thousands and maybe hundreds of thousands of times the Lord has brought you back from a place of weakness and wandering in the wilderness to being on fire for the Lord, to being zealous for Christ. Well, be encouraged then, because this is why we were saved. Once you become a Christian and are saved, that doesn't end things. That just begins an eternity future, in not only serving God, but worshiping God, knowing God more deeply, and enjoying the bliss of heaven. But that process begins here in this life when you and I become a Christian. And so we serve God for the rest of our lives. We use the gifts He has given us. We stir up the gift that is in us. We sharpen that gift. We cultivate that gift so that we can bear fruit, and then more fruit, and then much fruit. Because the more you develop your gift, the more you faithfully exercise that gift, the more fruit you will bear for the glory of Christ in this life. In this life. Isn't that wonderful? That we can do things, that we can use our gifts in a way that will glorify Christ in this world, that will cause angels to rejoice and to sing when a soul is added to the kingdom because we have sown the word or watered the word in lives of unsaved people and reaped some of the harvest. What a privilege it is. What an awesome privilege it is as a sinful, redeemed, imperfect believer to be the instrument of God unto the saving of souls and unto the building up of His church. This is so pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ when you and I give ourselves over to serving God and bringing forth good works in exercising our spiritual gift, in bearing fruit, and using your position in the church and your reputation as a Christian in a humble way to be light and to shine forth as light in the church and in the world. And we are exhorted to be consistent and faithful and steadfast. In other words, the book of Hebrews and the Bible in general encourages and admonishes believers to endure. To endure. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, to be steadfast, immovable, always, not sometimes, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What a wonderful promise that is, my brother and my sister. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord, so that when we are steadfast in abounding in the work of the Lord, sharing the gospel, doing good works among the church members, walking in the Spirit, being filled in the Spirit, sharing the Christian life, sharing the gospel with other people, letting people see Christ in us, the hope of glory. God says, nothing we do for Christ is in vain. In one way or another, it all redounds to the glory of God. And God uses it, whether it's in season or out of season. Don't try to figure it out. Just be faithful in serving God. When we talk about endurance, what we're talking about is the ability of enduring pain and suffering, the ability to continue or last despite fatigue and stress or other adverse conditions. Another word I would use is resilient. We know we're going to be attacked. We know we're going to get weak and we're going to get discouraged from time to time. But in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, in His shed blood, in His body that was offered as the sacrifice for sin, there is an unfathomable reservoir of grace in connection with sanctification and strength that the Lord supplies for His people, Christians, believers, in our service to God, so that even when we are at our worst and we have a fall or we suffer or we take one step backward and we struggle, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ has a huge application to Christians who are weak and need to recover back to the place of service and usefulness for the King in serving God. The cross has encompassed in it an ocean of grace through the shed blood of Christ, by faith in Christ exercised by believers, that washes our conscience clean from all impurities and offenses, and pours out afresh into our hearts the peace of God which passes all understanding, so that we can recover from any snare that is put before us. Any snare. Oh, I just need to pause here and say, praise God. Can you praise God with me, my brother, my sister? Praise God for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, for his passion on the cross, for his sacrificial death on the cross, for his resurrection, which we'll be talking about this Sunday. And by the way, this Sunday is our special resurrection service. You want to make it at 1 o'clock, and we'll give you that information again. And who ascended to heaven because his death and his life, and through his ascension to the right hand of God, through his high priestly ministry and prayers on our behalf, we are able to constantly, daily, hourly recover from every pitfall that is put in our way in serving God, in serving God. Well, let's talk about, with that introduction, why we must endure in good works, in labors for the King, and in serving God. The first reason is because bearing fruit and good works is a trait of the saints. We must endure in serving God because bearing fruit and good works is an attribute of believers. The Bible teaches that in spite of every trial of faith and every struggle with sin and temptation, with all the sufferings and the persecution, true believers will persevere in the faith to the end of their lives. He that started a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, until the day of the Lord, when he comes again to the earth. Believers fight two battles simultaneously. First, we fight against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And second, we fight the battle to maintain the life and staying power of each of our ministries. You have a ministry that God has given you. You've got spiritual gifts, and I do. And the second battle we're in is to preserve the life and the strength and the fruitfulness of the ministry and the gifts God has given to us, including missions. We fight both of these battles against the world, the flesh, and the devil, and to preserve the life of our ministry simultaneously. So we learn how to do this, though, how to overcome in these two areas when we slow down our service. We learn how to overcome these two hindrances over time. We learn by trial and error. Very often a pastor or a teacher or someone who disciples us doesn't sit alongside of us and teach us these things. We learn through experimentation in our walk from the day of our salvation onwards, the promises of God, and how the Lord, through our Savior Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, enables us to overcome. As we learn sound doctrine, especially the doctrine of sanctification from the Scripture, we learn how the Holy Spirit, in teaching us the meaning of sanctification or holiness or living a godly life, he helps us apply the principles and truths related to growing in grace, related to maturity and sanctification in our daily lives. And part of that truth that we learn is overcoming the world, the flesh, and the devil, as well as overcoming the resistance of the devil and our flesh in enabling us to maintain our ministry in serving God. And so there's the danger of becoming so battle fatigued in the war against the flesh that the spiritual vitality and fruitfulness of our ministry and our service to God diminishes. It weakens. But the Holy Spirit teaches us how to maintain good works, as I said, and spiritual fruit while simultaneously crucifying the flesh with its affections and lusts. Now, while there are varying levels of consistency and success in juggling the two battles effectively, the Bible teaches that in the end, believers will prevail and endure in producing good works and spiritual fruit. Did you hear what I just said? Are you listening? I hope you're not one of those that kind of fades in and goes out. Listen to me. This is critical. It's crucial. The Bible teaches that believers will prevail and endure in producing good works and in serving God. No matter how many times we may go up and down and fluctuate and diminish in these desires. Because John chapter 15 says in verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. This is a decree. This is a statement by our Lord Jesus Christ that describes kingdom living as Christians. He is the vine and we are the branches. And if we are a true believer, we are like a branch that is attached to the vine, a branch that has life in it, that is attached to the vine and draws life and nourishment from the vine, so that we continue to bear fruit on our branch, so to speak, for the glory of God. But there are many professing Christians, very sadly, who bear no fruit in their life from the day they're saved. That is described as a branch that is attached to the vine with no life in it. There are no leaves on that branch. There's no fruit that is born on that branch because the branch is dead. And Jesus says in verse in John 15, that the landscapers come and they cut off the dead branches and they cast them into the fire. But in verse 8 of John 15, God says, by this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. And this goes back to what I said earlier. We are given the enormous privilege of bearing fruit so that God would be glorified in this life, through the fruit-bearing process. And through that process, there's a great side benefit. We prove to others and to ourselves, through the grace of the Spirit given to us in fruit-bearing, that we are the children of God. And other people will see that we are the children of God. How many times, just in serving God consistently, has our spiritual life been stirred up and rejuvenated? And the Spirit of God, through that process of restoration and fresh grace being poured out upon us, gives us fresh joy, fresh love, fresh grace. It's wonderful. I can't help but rejoice. In spite of the hardships, in spite of the difficulties, this Christian life is full of joy, full of fulfillment, and full of spiritual rewards that gives us such great gratification, knowing that we can glorify God in this life through our good works and through serving God and bearing spiritual fruit for His glory. That makes life worthwhile. That makes life meaningful. Amen? Amen. We read in Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now the Bible says that God, for our salvation, was foreordained before the foundation of the world. If you're a Christian, the only reason why you are is because you were chosen and elected to be a Christian beforehand. Read Romans chapter 9. But there's another thing about Christians that was also decreed and foreordained even before the foundation of the world. And it is this, that those who are saved will walk in good works. They will do good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So when you see someone who professes to be a Christian from day one, and you see they don't have a heart for the Lord, they don't talk about the Lord, they don't do good works for the Lord, they don't bear fruit, they're always silent, never do they have any desire to glorify Christ in this life, they don't participate, they just barely go to church and keep up an external an external portrayal of being a Christian, but they never do anything to glorify God. I'm very concerned about such a person. I pray that that is not you. Mark 4:20 says, "But these are the ones sown on good ground," speaking of the parable of the sower, "those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold." If you are a true Christian, you are in one of three categories as defined by the parable of the sower. The other three seeds that fall on the ground, they don't bear fruit. But the fourth seed falls on the good ground. And each one of those seeds, which represents a believer, springs up. They have been ordained to bear fruit in certain amounts. Some will bear 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. God also ordained the amount of fruit that we will bear as part of the serving process. And we must endure in this process. We must not bury our talent in the ground. That's a dangerous thing to do. We don't want to be identified with those who do nothing, say nothing, share nothing for the glory of God in this life, because that's a very dangerous place to be. Psalm 1:3 says about the true believer that he shall be planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. There are seasons throughout our Christian life, not just at the beginning, not just the first week or month, but throughout our Christian life, God has arranged it that we will bear fruit in its season. There will be a long period of time that we don't bear much fruit, we don't see any fruit. Doesn't mean we didn't bear any. Doesn't mean that no fruit came forth from our efforts, from our gospel sharing and our good works. But we will see it, but it comes in seasons. Our leaf shall not wither. Remember I said that believers are like a branch attached to a vine? The leaves will always come back in season. Just like wintertime, the leaves on the branches die, the fruit withers and falls off the tree, and outwardly you can't see anything, but there's still life inside there. Jesus, in other words, preserves our life during those seasons where we don't see much fruit. But there are seasons when, like the summertime in the spring, where fruit comes back through our efforts into the lives of others. Revelation 14:13 says, "Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." Revelation 14:13. The depiction here is that believers are engaged in labors, serving God in their lifetime on the earth. And the fruit and the results of their labors, that is their works that they did that were blessed and owned by the Lord that brought forth fruit, that will, that has staying power because God gave that life. Pardon me. God blessed that. He infused life into an unsaved soul through the sharing of the gospel, or fruit was born another way through the use of our gifts, through ways in which we glorify God. There was the life of God that came into that person in conversion or in renewal or revival, and that fruit has redounds to the glory of God and does not go away, and it will follow us. The remembrance of that fruit and the actual life of that fruit will follow after us into the next life, and we will receive rewards. Isn't that wonderful? That we don't have to worry about following up after ourselves in glorifying the Lord. Well, let's stop there to see if we have any questions that have come in. No questions so far. Wow, so many of you must be intent on listening to the study. If you have a question about anything we've shared so far, I want you to email me at BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. That's BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. We could talk about the need to endure in the Christian life, in serving God. We could talk about the pandemic, the coronavirus, or anything else that is on your mind. Surely something has come up in your thinking. Give us a shout through email at BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. That's BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. Share your question and your comment. In the meantime, while we're waiting for your questions, I will take a sip of coffee, and then we will proceed in our study. So, the first reason why we must endure in serving God is because true believers bring forth good works. Bearing fruit and doing good works is a trait or an attribute of every true Christian. If you don't bear fruit in this life, then you can't be a Christian. Because the two go together, salvation and bearing fruit. Just like justification is attached and joined with sanctification, you cannot separate justification from sanctification in the life of every believer. Every believer who is justified will be sanctified, will live a holy life. For without holiness, no man can see the Lord. The same thing is true with regard to salvation and good works and bearing fruit. There's an intimate and integral connection between the two. You can go so far as to say if someone does not bring forth fruit or good works, that person cannot be a Christian. Look at the thief on the cross as an example. He was only converted or saved for, what, 3 hours, 6 hours before he died, and he was bringing forth fruit. He manifested good works on the cross. He went from cursing Christ and railing on Christ to speaking up on Christ's behalf and rebuking the other thief, his former partner in crime, for railing at Christ. He also confessed his faith to Christ before the other thief and the other people who were looking up on him from the ground while he was crucified. He wasn't ashamed to confess Christ, even while he was on the cross and had just gotten converted. Praise God for that. Well, the second reason why we must endure in serving God is because it's not how you start that matters. It's how you finish. You say, well, Joe, I've had so many inconsistent times in my life in serving. The important thing is that when you fail, when you slow down, when you grow weak and weary and ashamed and afraid and the fear of man overtakes you, that you repent and the grace of God pick you back up again and you pick up where you left off. Why? Because it's not how you start that matters, it's how you finish. Many started well, not just in their profession of faith as a Christian, but also in serving God. But a number of people, many, many people, did not finish the race in terms of their profession of faith, but also in serving God. And both of those very negative things usually are a testimony that the person was not converted. There are exceptions, rare exceptions to this rule, but they're very, very rare. Anyone who has God's life in them, anyone who has the Holy Spirit in them, even if they're backslidden, will eventually, pardon me, be brought back to a place of reconciliation in their relationship with Christ, as well as in being used of Christ to glorify Him in serving Him. So we must endure. It's not good enough to start off well for an hour, a day, a week, or a month. We must continue to serve Christ all the days of our life. And we're given a promise that even in our old age, we will bear fruit. Like we learn about Moses in the Bible, which says that his strength did not fail, nor his eye become dim until he died. God gave him good health. And even when we get sick, there are ways in which we can serve the Lord, even though there might be some hindrances involved in it, physically speaking. The email address to send your question or comment is BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. We have about 15 minutes left in the Bible study, so you need to go right now to your email and send us a question or a comment at bibletalk@firstloveradio.org. When I was a rifle instructor in the Marine Corps, we were taught a very important lesson to pass on to fellow Marines. And it goes something like this. You need to aim high. You need to have a small target, because if you have a small target, then you have small misses. And so we would teach Marines on the 500-yard line. They would be 500 yards away from the target, how to hit a bullseye, which was about 40 inches tall by 20 inches wide, the silhouette 40 by 20. How to hit that silhouette bullseye. That was the bullseye, this 40 by 20 target, 500 yards away. I can hardly see that in my sight. These were straight sights. This wasn't a scope that could zero in very closely. And we would tell them to imagine and pretend that there was no other rings or outside portion of the target, that the only portion of the target was the black silhouette. And imagine that was the only thing on the target. And sure enough, if you imagine you as a shooter, you have a small target, you will rarely miss that bullseye because you will try harder in hitting it. And so we always taught the shooter to expect to hit the bullseye in every shot. And so small target, small misses. Big target, big misses. And in a very real sense, that's the case with the believer in serving God. That we have to zero in on serving God, not occasionally, not once in a while, not once a month, not once a week, not once a minute, but every day we must serve God. If we've been struggling spiritually, we still have to serve God. And that attitude of serving God every day, this attitude of small misses, not leaving any room or leeway to let weeks and months go by where you could just schlep along and coast along and do nothing for the glory of God. The idea that I have to do something every day to glorify God, if I can, will drive you back to the throne of grace, to a place of prayer, to seek God for strength, to serve Him, for opportunities to serve Him, and that will kind of turn into confession of sin, repentance of sin, and it will bring you back to scripture reading and meditation, and that will open up the dark world that has been closed off to you of the kingdom. That will shine light and bring in the life of God that would rejuvenate your Christian life that you've been suffering with and that you've been struggling with. And so it has a positive effect when you determine by God's grace and with His help that you're going to serve God every day. It forces you to read the Word, meditate on it, to pray, and to rekindle your spiritual life that has been suffering. It works both ways, actually. And when you maintain a consistent devotional life, that will also be a quickening effect on your service to the Lord. And so look at the Apostle Paul's testimony as an example of persevering, not just starting, but persevering in serving God. In the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 24, we read from the testimony of the Apostle Paul, "But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." The Apostle Paul had a lot of hindrances, had a lot of roadblocks from enemies of the gospel, a lot of snares thrown into his path by the Jews who hated him because of who he represented as a believer and as a teacher. But he says, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself. He had already done a lot of training and meditation and mind work and heart work in this area of spiritual discipline and resiliency in overcoming the snares that Satan would throw in his way. And so when the devil would tempt him, and when things occurred by the Jews or other enemies of the gospel that would sidetrack him, listen, sidetrack him for long periods of time in serving God, he had already grown to a place of maturity in persevering in Christian service. Why? He says he wants to finish his race. We're all in a race as Christians. It's not how you start that race that matters, but it's how you finish. He says that I may finish my race with joy and, a very big and, the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus. He wants to finish his race as a Christian in the faith, but he also wants to fulfill and complete his ministry. And the Apostle Paul exhorted Timothy to fulfill your ministry. Fulfill your ministry. So let me ask you, are you fulfilling your ministry? Are you discouraged? Or have you slowed down? Look at the opportunities before us right now. The fruit is low-hanging on the tree. It's ripe for the pickings. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ, who understands that so often we are weak in the flesh and we grow weary. But God is bigger than any problems we have, and his grace will help us endure. Go to him, repent of the sin, but turn to Christ, look to Christ, trust in him. Just cast your life afresh at his feet. Confess that sin and say, Lord, here's my life again. Use me. Glorify yourself through my life. Use the knowledge that you've given me through the word to share the gospel. Use me, O Lord. Come and refresh my heart. Okay, we have a question that's come in. We still have 9 minutes left in the program. We still have time to answer a couple of more questions. If you send them in very quickly, email them to BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. BibleTalk@FirstLoveRadio.org. He says, this listener in Pennsylvania, my brother Mark. Hello, brother Mark. I'm so blessed to have you a regular part of this program. Hebrews 10:25, there are several pastors, he says, encouraging their congregations to attend church this Easter Sunday in the middle of the pandemic. They are using this scripture, Hebrews 10:25. Is this correct? Is this the correct use and interpretation of this verse? And the answer is no, it is not the correct interpretation of Hebrews 10:25, which says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another daily, especially as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:25 is in the context of a huge warning passage, one of five or six warning passages in the book of Hebrews, where the Apostle Paul exhorts Christians to persevere in the faith until the end of their lives, and to not go backwards, but go forwards with Christ. He uses the Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrines of Christ to remind these wavering believers that in Christ, not in the Old Testament, and not by looking back to the Old Testament law and the ceremonial law, but in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have everything we need to restore us, recover us, revive us, awaken us, with all the grace and strength of God that he supplies to persevere to the end of our lives. It's by looking to Jesus, trusting in Jesus, remembering his promises that he gave us as the Alpha and the Omega, to start as the Alpha and help us end and complete our faith as believers. So if the state, if the government would command us permanently, if there would be a law enacted that would forbid and outlaw Christians permanently from attending services of a church, then we would have to rebel against it. As our British brethren did, for example, during the 17th century, when there was a law that Parliament enacted under Bloody Queen Mary that forbid the Protestant churches to meet together on the Lord's Day. Mary, Queen of Scots, who was the Queen of England at the time and a very diehard, zealous Roman Catholic, forbid the Protestants from meeting. And so they met anyway. And John Bunyan is a good example of a pastor who met with his congregation out in the forests and at wilderness places where they could meet without being detected and discovered. But in the meantime, if the state enacts a law that is looking out for the health and welfare, the physical life of the citizens of a country or a community to preserve us on a temporary basis so that we don't get sick and die and can't serve God anymore, then we should submit to the state, because it's only a temporary law and mandate until we can overcome and get past the pandemic and the coronavirus and get back to a routine lifestyle. I hope that answers the question. We dealt with that, I think, in a recent Bible talk program, I think on Iron Sharpens Iron as well. So if you go back to some of our programs on our website, you'll find that. Okay, if there's no other questions, Peter. And Peter is our faithful partner in helping us on the Bible Talk program and on the Sunday program, as well as on Friday and Iron Sharpens Iron. So we'll stop there at this point, midway through why we must endure in serving God. And next time we'll pick up the third reason why we must endure in serving God, which I'll give you just a little bit of a taste of it. It's because fruit often comes later in life. And I'll give you a little appetite whetter. I have counseled many believers who have been so discouraged because they haven't seen much fruit in their lives. Now remember, God is the one who brings forth the fruit. Some sow and some water the word of God, but God gives the increase. And sometimes we have to water for many years before we see any fruit. Look at the weeping prophet Jeremiah, who virtually had no fruit during a ministry of 40 years. The same is true with Hosea, a prophet to the northern 10 tribes of Israel, for half a century. No fruit. Nobody listened to him. And Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, wept because the people would not hear God. Most missionaries see no fruit for the first 7 to 10 years of the missionary effort, just laying the groundwork. So be encouraged, brethren. Just be faithful and do the work. Do what God commands you and I to do, which is sow the seed, plant the word, share the gospel, hold Bible studies, and do your part. Endure in serving God by the grace of God. He will supply the grace and the strength and the endurance and the resiliency. You just do what he commands you to do. He'll take care of the rest. Serve God by sharing the word, sharing the gospel, doing good works, make phone calls. The Lord Jesus Christ is there to help us. Use social media. Reach out beginning tomorrow if you can. It's almost 8 o'clock on the west coast here of California, 8 p.m. But serve God. Okay, in the last couple minutes of the program, and by the way, let me just add one last thing. Make the Lord Jesus Christ the central place where you get revived. Go to him by faith. Don't try to work yourself up by your own strength into a place of service. You won't last long. Your strength will run out. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ and casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you, ask him for strength and grace, for wisdom, for a healthy memory, for an enlarged memory to remember all those verses that you forgot. Ask him for love for the lost. Ask him to refill you with all the fruits of the Spirit, to restore comforts in your heart. Ask him for fresh grace, fresh love, to be motivated by love to Christ, your Savior and mine, who died that we can be saved and be forgiven and enjoy a heaven with him forever, and died for us that we can serve him here in this life for the month or the year or the decade or the half century or more that we are here in this wicked world. We won't be here forever. Use your vain life apart from knowing him and serving him for his glory. Okay, this Friday, 2 days from now, Join me again at 1 o'clock on the Iron Sharpens Iron program with Chris Arnzen. We'll give you more reasons why we should serve God during this pandemic. We'll give you a lot of suggestions. That takes place this Friday, 1 p.m. Pacific time on firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Or you can also go to christbiblechurch.org, christbiblechurch.org, and join the program. Now you know why I told you to bring a pen and a paper, so you could take all this information down. And then on Sunday, we're going to be adding a worship part of our service. The worship part will take place from 12 noon until about 12:45. We'll have a 15-minute break, and then 1 o'clock starts the message, the sermon, on firstloveradio.org. That's firstloveradio.org. Also on BibleTalk.online. That's our new website for this program, BibleTalk.online. It's a brand new website. Go there. You've got all the videos, all the podcasts. Peter did a great job in building this website. I thank God for my partner, Peter. And also this Sunday at 12 o'clock on Facebook.com and also YouTube.com. On Facebook, you can find us at Facebook.com/Christ Bible Church. On YouTube, and it's YouTube Live, both videos on YouTube and Facebook. On YouTube, it's YouTube.com/Centrality of Christ. Also, you can get to my personal Facebook page, I believe, from the Christ Bible Church Facebook. Is that right, Peter? Is that correct? Okay. If you want to send me a personal email or a message on Facebook, please do. I'm brand new to Facebook, so be patient with me. I'm old school. Okay, I'm just joining in the last week, all right? We love you guys. Thanks for joining tonight. We'll close in prayer. Blessed Father, we pray that you would take this program and glorify yourself. I thank you for my brothers and sisters who have joined us tonight across the nation and the globe on firstloveradio.com, on Facebook, YouTube, and on other social media means. Thank you, Lord. Help us to be faithful to you, to serve you faithfully as we have looked into your word tonight on this very important subject. We thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ, who will never leave us, never forsake us, never leave us as orphans. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and press on, my brethren. Press on.